Father, we thank you that you are present before us. And with our hearts, we confess, we believe. We believe in you, O God. We believe in your words. We believe in who you are. And we believe, O God, that everything you say is true, Lord. So I pray, Father, this morning, strengthen our faith. Strengthen our hope. Strengthen our love as we believe in no one except you. So speak to us powerfully. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I hold on my hand the Bible. The Bible is a place that gives us past news of what has happened. The Bible gives us the present news or the good news of what Jesus has done. And the Bible gives us the coming news of what is to come. In this Bible, there is no bad news. It only has good news. And the good news I have for you this morning is Jesus Christ is alive and well. Yes, he was crucified on the cross. He was buried on the borrowed tomb. But on the third day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us. This is the gospel that we preach. This is the gospel that we proclaim. And we do it without any apology, without any excuse, without any compromise. Because we believe it is by this gospel whereby a man and a woman can be saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 tells us there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. We are not saved by work. We are not saved by religion. We are not saved by moral goodness. We are only saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is his story. His story about his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He showed us who the Father is. He did many great and mighty things. He went about doing good and he died on the cross for all humanity. But on the third day, he rose from the dead by the power of the Spirit. When we believe this story and accept him as our Savior and our Lord, this story becomes our story. His story has the power to give you new life, new hope, and new beginning. His story works with you. We resurrect the power, empowering you to live God's kind of life, to live for his purpose. My sermon today is the next 40 days. What did Jesus do between his resurrection and his ascension? What did Jesus do in the 40 days on earth before he was taken up to heaven? These 40 days are very crucial to the disciples who are fearful and confused. Very crucial to the early church. It's also very crucial for us to know why the risen Lord stayed with his disciple for 40 days in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 11. Acts and the Gospel of Luke is written by Dr. Luke. And when Dr. Luke wrote the Luke Gospel, he talked about Jesus went about doing and teaching. And in Acts chapter 1, he wrote that Jesus continued to do and teach to the day he was taken up. Why? Why did Jesus continue to do and teach in these 40 days? It's because Jesus is preparing his disciple, his apostle, in these 40 days to continue his ministry of doing and teaching. Doing and teaching with this fourth truth for the believers, for the coming church, and for us today. What is the truth that Jesus was teaching them? Number one, the reality of his resurrection. Verse 3 tells us, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to them, time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Another translation put this way, that Jesus proved to them infallible proof, proof that cannot be doubted, proof can be challenged, but it cannot be proven wrong. Infallible proof. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared before Mary Magdalene at the tomb. He appeared to the two women. He appeared to the two men on the road Emmaus. He appeared to Peter and the other apostle. But Thomas was not present. And this is what Thomas said to the other apostle. I will not believe it unless I see the nail wound in his hand. Put my finger into them and place my hand into the wound of his side. This is what Thomas said. I wonder, will you be like Thomas? 8 days later, the second Sunday, Jesus appeared to his apostle the second time. And this time, Thomas was present. Jesus looking at Thomas, and he said to him, put your finger here and look at my hand. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Do not be faithless. Any longer believe. Thomas did not touch Jesus' hand or Jesus' side. He simply replied, my Lord and my God. After a few weeks, after a week or a few days, Jesus appeared to his apostle. What were they doing? They were fishing. It really puzzled me. After they seen this resurrected Christ, that his resurrection is real, they should be so joyful, they should be so happy. But they were fishing. It really puzzled me. Again, Jesus appeared to his apostle on the mountain and gave them the great commission. Go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. And in this great commission, he gave them the great promise of the coming Holy Spirit. He called them, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Then Jesus appeared before 500 of his disciples. When Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he mentioned some of the 500 is still alive among them. Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians just 20 years after his death and resurrection. And already some believers are doubting his resurrection. Did Jesus raise from the dead? Some moving away from it. And some have their faith shipwrecked by this false Gnostic teaching. This false teaching maintained that Jesus was raised in the spirit, not in the body. That his body died and rot away in the grave, like bodies do. But his spirit lived, and his spirit ascend to heaven. But Jesus appeared before his disciple, not in the spirit, in the resurrected body, in a glorified body. Many times he appeared before his disciple, 40 days, not in the body, not in the spirit, but in his body, in his body. Jesus appeared before his disciple. He has to diffuse this rumors that is being promoted, that has been proclaimed, that his body was stolen away by his disciple. And the disciple needs to believe without a shadow of doubt that this same Jesus Christ who lived among them was resurrected on the third day in the body form, because he told Thomas, touch my hand, touch my side, see my wound. Jesus Christ rose from the dead in the body. And this, they are witness to this story. The apostle must continue to tell this story, even die for telling his story. The world do not dispute his birth. As day and time is named after him, B.C. before Christ, A.D. in the year of our Lord. They do not dispute his death recorded in history, but they dispute his resurrection. An empty tomb. Was his body stolen? No, his body was not stolen. Did he resurrect? Yes, he did. His resurrection is not a horse. It's not a false news. It's not a fairy tale. It is the truth. The disciple witnessed his resurrection. He appeared before them in body form. So, are we now, as the disciple were witness of his resurrection, so are we now. We are his witness that Jesus rose from the dead and he lived. I was not there. You were not there. How do I be the witness of his resurrection? I must be so convinced of what I believe, of who I believe. Like Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know who I have believed. What I believe is important. As we sang the song earlier, the song that said, I believe is important, especially in the time of crisis like COVID-19. I believe and I know his resurrection is true because the Bible tells me so. And the Bible is the full authority of God's word. Not every Christian believe the Bible as the full authority of God's word. But I must, and you must, if we are to tell the story without a shadow of doubt. Remember the words of Jesus to Thomas. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus transcended his disciple from walking by sight. I see to walking by faith. I believe. The only reason why we can tell the resurrection story, even though we were not there, even though he did not appear before us, is because we believe the word of God. The word of God has full authority. And above all, I believe the resurrection because he lives in my heart. John chapter 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And my Father will love him. And we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Yes, I believe because Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit lives in my heart. I experience him, not religiously. I experience him in relationship as a child of God, calling him Abba, Father. As one writer put it this way, we need a deep mind-persuading, heart-ripping verification that Jesus Christ is alive and triumphs over all his enemy and that his cause is unstoppable. Yes, I believe and I will not be moved. I believe and I will stand firm to this. I believe to the very last breath of my life. We believe in his resurrection unquestionably. Our salvation, past, present, and future is anchored on his resurrection. If Christ is not risen, our faith is in vain. We are the most miserable people. If Christ is not risen, all the time, all our belief, all our energy, all our hope, all our forgiveness is all in vain. But praise God, we believe and I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead in the body, the resurrected, glorified body. And now, because I believe, we believe. Let our words, let our lifestyle, what we do, what we say, how we live. Let the world know we believe in his resurrection and our life are telling his story. The resurrection is real. The second truth, the kingdom of God. Verse 3, for he taught to them about the kingdom of God. What is so important that the resurrected Christ felt the need to repeat himself? This passage from Acts 1 reminds us that Jesus stayed earthbound. He stayed on the earth. Remember when he was resurrected and Mary Magdalene wanted to touch him and he said, don't touch me, I had to present myself to the Father. He waited for 40 days so that he can simply speak about the kingdom of God. The message of Jesus Christ to his apostle is the kingdom of God. The beginning of the kingdom. When Jesus preached the gospel, the kingdom is launched. He preached about the kingdom of God. His parable revealed and explained God's kingdom. He said the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like this. His miracle is the demonstration of the kingdom of God is here. His miracle, his power over evil, over Satan, casting out demons, raising the dead, is a demonstration that kingdom power is here. His death and resurrection begins the kingdom of God. He strengthened his disciples to understand the kingdom of God. He stayed with them 40 days to teach them about the kingdom of God. Can you imagine the King of Glory, the Lord of Glory, teaching about his kingdom for 40 days after his resurrection? His kingdom must be important to him, must be important to the disciple, must be important to us today. The word kingdom is made up of two words. King's domain is the territory or the area over which a king rules and reigns. God's kingdom is the rule and the reign of God, whether it is in earth or in heaven. So the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns over the life of his subject. Wherever we honor Jesus as the king, his kingdom is present. Wherever the spirit of the king is, the kingdom of God is present. When the king reigns in your heart, his kingdom is in you. When the king reigns in your home, his kingdom is in your home. When the king reigns in Grace City Church, his kingdom is in Grace City Church. We must live with an awareness of the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke 40 days pertaining to the kingdom of God. Be aware of the kingdom of God that is in us, with us, and among us. The kingdom of God is not a political kingdom. It is not the kingdom of this world. But it is eternal and invisible kingdom in our midst. When you look at the four gospels, you will see that the apostle was strongly for a political view of the kingdom of God. Even in verse 6, they asked Jesus, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? The disciples, the apostles, they were concerned about their position and their privilege. They were loyal Jews that want to see their enemy defeated. They want to see the establishment of the glorious kingdom under the rule of King Messiah. Many Christians, like the apostle, have only this visible world as the real world. And they become unaware that we live and surrounded by another world, by another kingdom, which our eyes do not see, our hand do not touch. But the Bible tells us this. Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Jesus began his ministry by saying, the kingdom has come. The kingdom is near. Make no mistake, the kingdom of God is already here. The kingdom of God is operating. The kingdom of God is here, but not in its fullness. This is the paradox. The kingdom of God is here and coming, now and yet to come. In the beginning of creation, the righteous rule of the kingdom has already taken place. The psalmist said this in Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. One writer put it this way. The kingdom of God has never been in trouble and never will be. Say amen to that. That God's kingdom is not a diminishing, is not a decreasing kingdom. God's kingdom is not in trouble. In the world may be in trouble, but the kingdom of God is expanding and increasing. It's something that human being cannot produce. Something that human being cannot stop, the kingdom of God. But God invites us to be part of his kingdom. If we refuse, we are disadvantaged and we only hurt ourselves. Jesus spoke about the kingdom. He prayed about the kingdom in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. The kingdom is Jesus' priority. And he asks us to live according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Whenever God's people gather in the name of King Jesus, his kingdom is present. Today at your house, his kingdom is at your house. You are with your family, his kingdom is there. His kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom. We are kingdom people with kingdom power and kingdom authority to overcome, to subdue, to domain and every obstacle, and every mountain, every hindrance, even COVID-19. I ask you, if Jesus spoke 40 days about the kingdom is not for knowledge. The kingdom is for us to live in the principle and in the life of the kingdom. Third thing that Jesus talked about, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 4 to verse 5. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit at River Jordan before he began to do and to teach. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. He received the Holy Spirit at his ascension so that he can pour out the Spirit upon the church. If Jesus needs the Spirit, how much more do we? John 14, 16. The final farewell of Jesus to his disciple. He talked about the promised Holy Spirit as the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, counselor, the helper, the strengthener, and the standby. We need the Holy Spirit to be every one of this description in our life. The Holy Spirit will endure you with power from on high. Power do not come from man, but from the Spirit. The Bible said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. We are empowered to be his witnesses, empowered to continue the work of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus Christ. 10 days after Christ's ascension, on the day of Pentecost, the promised Holy Spirit was poured out, fulfilling Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to verse 29. I will pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see vision. In those days, I will pour my spirit even on your servant, men and women alike. Pentecost is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The dispensation of grace is here. You need the Holy Spirit to baptize you, to fill and refill you again and again with unlimited power. The early church experienced not just one filling, but many fillings. When they are faced with opportunity and with obstacle, they went to God, as in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They were threatened, the church prayed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and speak boldly for God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus talked to them about, will empower ordinary people like you and me to say and to do extraordinary things, because it is the Spirit of God working through us. We need the Holy Spirit in the times such as this to witness for Him, to give an answer for the reason of our hope, to do His work, to overcome the spirit of fear, and to face this unseen enemy, COVID-19. The promised Holy Spirit is here. Get connected, get filled, get refilled, because the Spirit is not an option, not an extra. It is absolute necessity. You need it to live our Christian life on earth. The last thing in the 40 days that Jesus talked about is the ascension. From verse 9 to verse 11. After saying these things, He was taken up into a cloud. While they were watching, they could no longer see Him. And as they strained to see Him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday He will return from heaven in the same manner you saw Him go. Jesus taken up, but someday in the same manner He will return. His ascension is also called His exaltation, His glorification. Remember the prayer of Jesus, Father, glorify me, in John. And when the Father ascended Him by the Spirit, is the Father glorify Him. The Father accepted everything that the Son has done on earth. You see, the redemptive work of Christ is not just His birth, His death, His burial, His resurrection. The redemptive work of Christ includes His ascension to make it a complete work of redemption. Our Lord ascended into heaven is an important part of His ministry. He said this, if He did not return to the Father, He could not give us the promised Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I do not, the Comforter will not come. If I go away, then I will send Him to you. Jesus' ascension to heaven released the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and today the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus' ascension changed the dynamic. You remember when Jesus was on earth? He was in the mountain praying. The disciple was in the ship. He could not be at the same place at the same time. But now, as the resurrected Christ, and with the Spirit given to all of us, He can be in every heart and in every place at any time. That's the power of His ascension. What is Jesus doing in heaven? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. Four things He's doing. First, He is our blesser, blessing us. In Luke chapter 24, the same author of Acts, in the last chapter, Luke 24, he gives us an account of the ascension of Jesus Christ to his disciple. And what was he doing? Verse 50 said this, then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hand to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. What was Jesus doing in the process of being ascended to heaven? The Bible tells that he was blessing his disciple. What is Jesus sitting in the Father's right hand? He is what? He is blessing us. Say amen to that. He sits at the right hand of the Father as our interceding high priest, giving us the grace in time of need, giving us the strength to live life, and giving us the power to serve him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to verse 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Yes, I believe. We believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, that we may receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. The high priest praying for you in your time of need. That's why he say, you are never alone. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is our advocate before the Father, forgiving us when we confess our sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He is our advocate. He defends us. He stands for us, defending us against Satan, the accuser. Every accusation is canceled. It becomes null and void because Christ paid the price in full once and for all. Wonder Paul said, there is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. You need to understand Jesus is your advocate. When you sin, ask him for forgiveness. The enemy cannot accuse you. No condemnation. You stand before him as his child. He sits at the right hand of the Father, exalted and the glorified head of the church, working with his people on earth and helping them to accomplish his purpose. As the believer watch Jesus being taken up to glory, the two angels give the believer the assurance, this same Jesus that is taken up, this same Jesus will come back. Will come back. What a motivation for reigners and faithful service. The next 40 days of Jesus on earth, after his resurrection, established what? Next for his disciple, for his church, for you and me. We are not alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He ascended to give gifts to his people, the fivefold gift to the church for equipping us for Christian service, and maturing us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This must be our message to the believer and to the world. The resurrection is real. This is the gospel. The kingdom is here. And the kingdom of God is advancing. Men and women are believing him, entering into his kingdom by this new birth. And the Holy Spirit is here to empower, to baptize, to refill and refill his people with power from on high. He ascended to continue his work for us. And one day, one day, the same Jesus will return. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be serving. We come to the communion this morning. The communion is the focal point and the center message of the communion is tied up to the 40 days that Jesus was with us, with the disciple. The communion speaks about the gospel, his resurrection, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. The communion speaks about the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom. The communion speaks about the Holy Spirit given to us. We are sealed by the Spirit. The communion speaks about He ascending to the Father. And as often as we take it, we do it in remembrance of Him. Till what? Till He return. So, folks, every time we take the communion, this message that I preach to you, the next 40 days, is the center focal point of communion. That's why we take communion. The bread that represents His body. His body broken for us. And we know that there is healing in His body. Whether it is financial healing, physical healing, emotion healing, healing in relationship, there is healing in His body. Let's take the bread. We take the blood, the wine that represents His blood, knowing that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that our sin is forgiven. And we know that He is our advocate. We know that when we come to Him and say, Lord, forgive my sin, that He forgives us, that the accuser cannot accuse us, for we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we take this wine that represents His blood, telling ourselves there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We are His child, forgiven by Him. Let's take I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Jesus.
Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the
What a powerful song, I believe. This is the message of the early church. They believe in the resurrection. They believe in the kingdom of God. They believe in the Holy Spirit. And they believe Christ, the ascend, will descend. This is the message of the church that bring faith, hope, and love. Let's pray. Father, we declare we believe. And Lord, I pray what we believe about you will become stronger and clearer each day, O God. That we will be unshakable and unmovable in what we believe about what you have done for us and what you're doing for us and what is to come, O God. So I pray, Father, throughout this week, bless your people with opportunity to share about what they believe, O God. Anoint their lips, that they may carry the message of hope and love. I ask this in Jesus' name. See you next week. The Lord bless you.